One of the joys for me in this life is singing. To gather with a group of people and to make music. To come together as a group, to have a purpose as a group, to encounter music which can bring joy, be uplifting, and be challenging. And to bring together our wills and intentions as a group for a common endeavor, to act as though we were one voice. I find that community to be fulfilling. I find it to be a creative endeavor, and it brings me joy. And I'm struck by the fact that when we gather on Sunday morning, we sing. We come together as a body, and we make music together. And this is one of the few places in our culture where we do that. We are great consumers of music. We'll spend money to buy music, download music. We listen to music. But this is a place where we come together and we make our own music as a community. Now, as I say, this is, for me, enjoyable. I hope it is for you as well. Given how well you sing, I think there's some joy out there when we sing. But that's not the point, ultimately. It's not about my joy. It's not about my fulfillment. It's not about the meaning I find in it. When we come together here and we make music, the point is God. We come together to offer praise to God. We use the voices, the breath that God has freely and generously given us to worship God, to return to God our offering of thanksgiving, of praise. And so it is God that is the object of our singing and of all of our worship, not we ourselves, not what, how we might benefit, though that may happen, but is focused on God. Our epistle this morning for the letter to the Ephesians, we said it was from Paul, but Paul probably didn't write it. It was probably written by a disciple of Paul. It's not addressed to any particular church, and it seems a nice summation of Paul's teaching. But be that as it may, the author tells us that we should sing. The author actually tells us a few things. In our passage this morning, we heard, "Be careful how you live. Do not be foolish." So we're being called to be intentional in the ways we live, and to not be foolish, but to be careful in what we do. And we're called to be filled with the Holy Spirit as we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And in that doing, the author tells us, our singing is about giving thanks to God for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there it is. Our singing is about praising God and giving thanks to God for all we have. And we're reminded in this lesson to be intentional and careful in how we live, to not be casual about life, and in fact, to be wise. Now wisdom, true wisdom, I sometimes find in short supply. And I'm willing to admit that may be arrogance on my part, but I'm aware there are so many voices in our world offering us the path of wisdom. People who have something that they know will just make everything better for us. But it always comes with a catch. We don't get it unless we pay them. And if we do, life can be better. And I want to be careful. There are people out there who are genuine and sincere and who really have something to offer us. But I think there are others who are selling a product which may or may not do what they claim. But it leads me to wonder, what if wisdom were available freely? Without charge, without having to go to a self-appointed expert and pay money for it. What if wisdom is a gift bestowed upon us freely? That's the theme of the book of Proverbs, where our first lesson was taken this morning. A book which is an instruction offered to young people of the wisdom of the people of Israel. These are the things to do if you are to be wise. Here's how to live. And in this book, wisdom is shown as being created by God and personified as a woman. A woman who embodies that wisdom and shares and imparts that wisdom with humanity. Wisdom who is present at the creation of the world and wisdom who is active in the world. Wisdom who guides and coaches and helps us along to live in the way God is calling us to live. Now this wisdom that is offered us, the gifts of wisdom, lead us to a holy response to God. Wisdom teaches us and leads us into true life. And in our lesson this morning, wisdom is shown as having built a house on the seven foundations and is throwing a lavish feast, a banquet, and all are invited. And it is free. There is no charge. And coming to this banquet leads to maturity, to real life in God. The author tells us, lay aside immaturity and live, and walk in the way of insight. Here's wisdom offering this meal, offering her bread and wine to us, offering us the unconditional love of God. As her food and drink nourish our body, so wisdom's teaching feed and nourish our soul. Wisdom's teaching nourishes and feeds our spiritual and ethical life. Wisdom leads us to relationship with God and to life that God intends for all. And so here's this banquet of wisdom freely offered, freely given, that leads to abundant life. And that abundant life is echoed in our gospel this morning as we continue reading from the sixth chapter of John, where we hear Jesus is the bread of life. This morning, Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus promises to give us this bread. And this bread he offers leads us into abundant life. Those who eat his flesh and drink his blood will be raised on the last day. This bread gives us life that is stronger even than death itself. Death has no power over Christ. And so eating this bread means we will live forever. Now, not surprising, those hearing this have trouble understanding it. How can this man give us his flesh to eat, they ask. How indeed? How can Jesus give us his flesh? How can bread become his body? How can wine become his blood? Like the meal offered by wisdom, the heavenly food that Jesus gives requires maturity and also faith to see. Because that bread and wine of the Eucharist continue to look like ordinary bread and wine. It is through wisdom. It is through God's grace that we can trust, we can believe, there is more there than we can see. Thomas Aquinas, a 13th century theologian, and I confess one I don't quote often, wrote quite a bit on the Eucharist. And a quote I'd like to share with you actually comes from a hymn in our hymnal, hymn 329, which we sing on Maundy Thursday. But this section of the hymn talks about this fact that this bread and wine, though we can't see it, does become Jesus' body and blood. Aquinas says, Word made flesh, the bread he taketh, by his word his flesh to be, wine his sacred blood he taketh, though the senses fail to see. Faith alone the true heart taketh to behold the mystery. It's through faith we come to understand that mystery, that the Word of God, that eternal Word, incarnate in Jesus, is present under the signs of bread and wine. Though we can't see it, through faith we come to this mystery. And so it is that Jesus gives us this heavenly food, and the Holy Spirit allows us to believe. And ultimately, the fruits of this believing are deep relationship with God. The fruits are the spiritual maturity to walk in wisdom's ways, to inherit eternal life. Now, when we talk about eternal life, I think sometimes we really focus on what happens after death. Eternal life is off somewhere, yet to come. It's not now. But I think that misses the point that eternity is breaking into the here and now. Eternal life is a way of life now, not just after death. And in fact, eternal life is a way that sees everything, all there is, as a gift of God, and leads us to be thankful. To live in eternal life in the here and now is to live in a way that is filled with the Holy Spirit, To trust that things we can't see can be. To trust that bread and wine are the food of eternity. To trust that God's love and justice can transform the hate and greed and evil of this world. To trust that the power of God is stronger than all things, even than death. Is to trust that God loves us so much as to become incarnate, to suffer and die and to rise again for us, and invites us to share in his resurrected life. Is to trust that God enters the signs of bread and wine to nourish us and to transform us, that by God's love and divinity, we become the body of Christ here and now. So our world offers many wise folk who are very happy to show the path to an abundant life. But we have the path offered by wisdom, who comes offering that rich banquet, that abundant love and life with God. We have the gift of Jesus, who offers his body and blood for the redemption of the world, to make us sons and daughters, to make us children of God. And so we are called as followers of Jesus to pursue this life of wisdom, to not squander our lives on what does not satisfy, tempting though it may be, but instead to draw closer to God, to say yes to the invitation to come into deep relationship with God. So may we come to this table, as we are doing today, to freely eat and drink of the food of our loving Lord, that we might be filled with eternity, even as we live in this age. And may God's abundant love, known in this sacrament, bring us joy in the present and hope for the future, hope for eternity, a future where we dwell with God, worshiping at the throne of the Lamb and singing God's praises for eternity. Amen.